Just after 8 o'clock, we're into the third hour of Wednesday's Big Show. Going to talk some World Junior Hockey Championship at the top of the next hour. Look forward to that. Just one Flame prospect in action in Edmonton. We'll talk to Jason Bukala about Matt Coronato and everything you need to know about the World Junior Hockey Championship coming up at 9 o'clock. Right now, though, saw this in the commercial break. By the way, my name is Will Nault alongside Matt Rose from the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio here in Calgary. On Twitter, it's been announced Domino's Pizza closing all their stores in Italy, which shouldn't surprise anybody.
Yeah.
The obviously. U.S. brand opened up its first store in Milan 7 years ago, and it expanded across the country despite being shunned.
Why were they shunned?
By traditionalists. Because, of course, the Italian traditionalists opposed to North American innovations, such as putting pineapple on pizza.
Mm.
And as we talked in the break, you're not necessarily choice number one, but you're not opposed to pineapple on pizza. Whereas me, I wouldn't say I go out of my way to put pineapple on pizza, but if it works with said combination, go ahead and throw the pineapple on there. I'm a big fan of pineapple in general, but cooked or grilled pineapple,
the best.
Very, very good. Very juicy. Very delicious. So I'm not opposed.
Yeah, for me, there's a place near my apartment called Actually Pretty Good, and the way they do it, they have their pineapple pizza called the Duke, and the pineapple is very thin and very small. It's not like it's just right out of the can in those big chunks. That's when I'm not such a huge fan. But when it's smaller and it's lighter and it doesn't dominate the flavor of the pie, I'm on board.
All right. Well, let's see what our next guest thinks. Ben Wagner, radio voice of the Blue Jays across the Sportsnet Radio Network, joins us right now live from Baltimore, the site of Game 3 between the Orioles and Blue Jays tonight at 5:05. Ben, first of all, how are you? Good morning. Second of all, are you a pineapple on pizza type of guy?
Good morning, guys. I'm great, despite the recent struggles of the Blue Jays bullpen again. I'm trying to digest that from last night. So the conversation of pineapple on pizza is welcoming. I would probably fall into more of a traditionalist when it comes to my pizza toppings. I'm not opposed to it. I have sampled it. I would not pass it by if it was the last remaining pie on the freebie table. I would consume it that way, but I would not walk up and order, pineapple on the pizza. And I do agree with you. You just can't pour it out of the can and
that's right.
The chunks sit up there. You got to slice. You got to take some time.
Yes.
You have to do it properly, balance it out so all the flavor notes, are balanced on the pizza.
I like that.
I do appreciate the kindness and the attention to detail if you do it that way.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of pride in your work, right?
Yes. Yes, always.
Now, as someone who's on the road, like, what's your go-to? Because you're always out and about. You're in a hotel. Well, you don't have time to make. Like, is pizza a go-to for you?
Well, and first of all, Ben, you must be thrilled to be back on the road.
Hey, listen, anytime you can get close to a ball club that is playing really well with great expectations, it's one of the great things about working in sports is the proximity and the access that we're given, especially with the Blue Jays here. It's about me and relationships and trying to make good stories on the radio. So, if I'm afforded that opportunity to be even closer to the club, it's great. I'm definitely about that.
What's your go-to as far as munching on the road?
Well, and the other thing too, it's crazy because you probably finish the game and then you got to get some food in you. So it's a late night after the game type eats for you, I would imagine, most of the time, Ben.
Which is terrible for your waistline,
it
by
is.
The way.
It is. Great. Yeah.
So, I'm a guy that just can't shut it down, leave the broadcast and just, fall into bed. I'm wired. I'm engaged in the game. I'm thinking about what unfolded, whether it's dramatic plays or, the minutia of a game.
You're not getting to bed before 1 a.m. You're not getting to bed before 1 a.m.
No chance. I got to get back wherever. If it's the hotel, I'm watching the highlights. I've been known to saunter out and spend some time with my colleagues as well, which is always great. And I love the guys that we work with on other teams too, from a broadcast standpoint. So it's always good to mine up nuggets for the next night's broadcast from those guys. So it's really good. But I'm talking to you right now in one of my great spots that I love to work at on the road, in a coffee house in Baltimore, Maryland, right at the Inner Harbor. It's a great setting. So my morning actually is designed more for my routine and what fulfills me in getting out on the road and finding a nice place to work and do a lot of the pregame prep before I go to the ballpark. Now, when it comes to food, I try to be careful because, you know, there's a lot of late nights. There's a lot of long hours put into play here, and I don't want to look like a Zeppelin by the end of the season. So I try to, you know, eat a lot of fruit and veggies along the way.
Mixing a salad where you can. I like it. I like that you saunter out there as well. That's a good vibe. I like that look.
Yeah. I'm a good saunterer, especially when it's 35 and you can chew through the humidity today.
Absolutely. Ben, as we dive into where the things are at now with the Blue Jays and certainly on this series, first of all, we mentioned that you're back on the road. You've had some eyeballs on it now, and it's been a talking point for, I think, some people as they visit Baltimore this season. What do you make of the new left field fence?
Not a fan. It looks like they just took an excavator out there and just pushed the wall back, honestly. It went from being one of the more intimate and aesthetically pleasing venues in Major League Baseball to just really having an eyesore on the outfield wall. They could have just pushed it back and made it kind of nice and rounded, but it looks a little dangerous, to be honest with you. I've talked to a number of people in the game, a couple of guys that have been here before, and they're really concerned about that notch. You know, Fenway's interesting at the end of the bullpen, right behind center field where it bellows out to 420 feet. That's a heck of a shot. You've got some time to react. Here, it's just under 400 feet next to the bullpens. So if you're going back hard on a ball, you realize the wall's coming. But the way that angle is in left center field, it's very tricky for a center fielder or even a left fielder to navigate. It's more of a safety concern for me, let alone on top of the eyesore of it. I don't know that it's preventing anything. I really don't. I in 2 or 3 years, if they say, the Orioles, and say, well, you know, it saved our pitching staff 57 runs. Well, how much did it cost your offense at the same time? It's not that significant of a change. I'm not a big fan of it.
Now, we do focus a lot on the Blue Jays, Ben, but I got to ask you about their opponent. I mean, if the season started a month ago, the Baltimore Orioles would have the best record in the American League. They sold assets at the deadline, and here they are entering action today. 2 games back of Toronto and half a game back of the third and final wildcard spot in the American League. I would suggest the vibe in Baltimore around this Oriole team is pretty good. And this Oriole team, and you know, baseball is a funny sport when it comes with confidence. They've got to be feeling it right now.
They are oozing with confidence. And part of it is because of a couple of veterans that they actually brought into the organization. The backup catcher is Robinson Chirinos, and he's had an amazing impact on the pitching staff and kind of tutoring Adley Rutschman, who is a blossoming superstar behind the plate for the Orioles. And the other veteran is, and Blue Jay fans aren't going to like this, especially after last night, but Rougned Odor has made a massive impact with the energy and accountability in this clubhouse. Now, I know Blue Jay fans remember that snotty action that he had when he landed one right on the chin of Jose Bautista a few years ago. Uh-huh. It's difficult for a lot of people to forget that moment, absolutely. But what Rugi has done since coming here is earn the trust of his coaching staff. And Brandon Hyde told me in June, this is going back to June, when the Orioles were looking like they'd lose 100 games, that part of the upbeat rhythm of that clubhouse belonged on the accountability side to Rougned Odor, and something that he wanted him. Now, Rougned Odor almost single-handedly lost the ballgame for the Orioles last night. He had a couple of errors and a wild throw late. You put the tying run into scoring position, but then he comes through in the clutch. Once again, hits the big home run, and that's part of the reason that you can lose a Trey Mancini and you can lose a Jorge Lopez, guys that were coveted by other organizations and moves essentially the Orioles had to make. If you look at where Baltimore has struggled over the last handful of years, it hasn't been at the plate. Their pitching has been just absolutely putrid. Mm-hmm. So they needed to stockpile some prospects and get some flyers. And by trading 2 guys, they added 6 projected starters in the big leagues. 6 of them off of 2 trades from Trey Mancini, who is going into free agency. And really, Trey Mancini needed to maximize an opportunity outside Baltimore. And then Jorge Lopez, the return on that from the Twins, still to be determined, right? But the Twins needed an arm in the bullpen. Minneapolis went out and they got it. So it wasn't necessarily a clubhouse or a team that was going to be decimated by two significant pieces because they have backup plans. Felix Bautista has pitched both games against the Blue Jays last couple of nights. He is electric. 6'8", 250 pounds. It's like a closer-sized, a closer-style size of Alek Manoah that throws 102, locking down wins for the Orioles. So they had a backup plan there. And they've got two prospects that are just on the fringes of coming up to the big leagues to play in the outfield and perhaps get Ryan Mountcastle off his feet into more of a DH role too. And he's a one-man wrecking ball. So there are backup plans with the Orioles. Oh, by the way, they've won 23 out of the last 31 games. And it's a clubhouse in Baltimore, I can tell you. I was in it yesterday. It's got a lot of looseness. It's got a lot of positivity around it. But they're also playing with absolutely no pressure, which is the flip side of that and how I think, you know, you can look at where the Blue Jays are, where every win matters so much to the Blue Jays with the expectations they had going into the season.
Yesterday's game against the Orioles, a lengthy delay right around the sixth inning there. I believe it was over an hour. I saw 78 minutes floating around is the number that I saw on Twitter. A long delay. John Schneider wasn't overly happy. Can you just talk about how that might have affected the ball club?
Well, yeah, a couple of things. So, you know, baseball changed the rule where if you get an official game after 4.5, if the home team is leading, or after 5 innings, but if after 5 innings, the visiting team takes the lead in the top half, the home team gets a chance to answer. So Bo Bichette hits a go-ahead 3-run home run in the top of the sixth inning. And then moving into the bottom of the sixth, that is when Zach Pop came out of the bullpen in relief of Alek Manoah. And there's multiple layers into this scenario. There was a threat of rain all evening long. It was hot. It was very high humidity. You could have had a pop-up thunderstorm happen in the first inning or the ninth inning. It didn't matter. The rain was imminent. And the groundskeeper, the three prior innings, made visits with the grounds crew and the umpire crew and just, you know, laid it out. Here's the radar. This is what we're looking at. And I'm always a fan of using technology. And this is where, you know, the Blue Jays got very frustrated because when the tarp was rolled out, it wasn't raining. But I understand the sensitivity here because if it would have started rain and they tried to play through the downpour, I don't know that they would have been able to get the game completed at all or even that inning. I really don't. So it was an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure here where the grounds crew rolled out the tarp prior to the rain arriving. And it did. It sat for probably 5 to 10 minutes without a drop hitting it. But once it started to rain, it was an absolute deluge. I mean, it was coming down like crazy. And it went for about 50 to 60 minutes, just hard driving rain. So by getting the tarp out there, it saved the opportunity to complete the game as scheduled. But what it also did is it made Zach Pop unavailable for the Blue Jays because he had gotten hot. He cooled down, went to the mound, and then the tarp came out. So he was announced into the game, not an official appearance, but the Blue Jays couldn't use Zach Pop the rest of the night. And, of course, it turned the tide. You know, the Blue Jays had all the momentum after the big home run by Bo Bichette. They had the pitching lined up they wanted in that situation. And then you just sit and you wait. And that's really the frustrating part from a baseball perspective is the disruption disrupted everything from then on out, even though the game was played as it was scheduled.
Now, what does the play-by-play guy do doing a 78-minute rain delay? Are you burning your prep? Like, what's going on for you in the 78-minute delay?
You know what? I'm a social guy, so I visited with Dan and Tabby, and Tabby and I went down to the main press box. We got some popcorn. We refilled on the coffee. I went back up, and I chatted with both the TV, and I've known the TV guy here forever. We were in the minor leagues for 7 years together, so I know Kevin Brown for a long time. Kevin Brown, Ben McDonald, and I, we just chewed the fat a little bit. And then the radio people from Baltimore popped into my booth for a little bit. And that's how we spell the time. You know, you swap stories, you tell tales, and you catch up. And honestly, it felt like we were just you know, reuniting with friends, sitting on the couch in somebody's living room. It was just really relaxed. That's how you go through the time. And you know, you watch some out of town scores, and you've got the highlights playing in the broadcast booths as well. I was really locked in on the action between Seattle and New York last night because that was playing out in a great ball game with Logan Gilbert and Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees and the Mariners last night. So there was a lot going on, even though there was nothing happening on the field in front of us.
Just throw to the studio and
this is where,
hobnob a little bit.
I was going to say, this is where the pineapple on pizza conversation comes in,
yes.
Andy, right?
Yes, exactly. We didn't make it that far. I think if we would have gotten to 90 minutes in the rain delay, we certainly would have had a pizza conversation.
I like it. Ben Wagner's with us, by the way, Sportsnet radio voice of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays and Orioles wrap up their three-game set tonight at 5:05 from Camden Yards. Of course, let's talk about this team and the rotation, which has been a talking point for pretty much all season long. But I'm curious your takeaway. I know that, and I give John Schneider a lot of credit. I think it was important for him to not necessarily bury his guy in the media. Not to say that Yusei Kikuchi was awful, but you know, John Schneider was still very complimentary of him, despite the fact that it was another struggle for him his last time out. How important did you see that? Do you see it the same way in terms of trying to navigate the public opinion of Kikuchi? And we talked about confidence. You got to be careful, I think, a little bit too with that guy.
Well, I think confidence is why what the organization says, because it's also being absorbed by Yusei Kikuchi and his team around him. So if he feels like the team or the organization or the coaching staff doesn't believe in him, that's very difficult to do anybody's job, right? If the people that you're working for and with don't believe in you. But let's give it the eye test here. Yusei Kikuchi, in his rotation spot, is going to keep getting opportunities because they paid him to be in the starting rotation. He cannot go back to the minor leagues unless he gives written permission to the Toronto Blue Jays to be optioned back. That is a note in the contract. I've double checked with people in the front office. They just cannot say it's poor performance, you're not doing well, let's go down to AAA and figure it out, which is a big problem. That's a really big problem for the Toronto Blue Jays, is every game means so much. And the emphasis on Kikuchi starts are glaring, because after Kikuchi, there's another question mark. How long will Ross Stripling take to look like Ross Stripling can return to form? It's a hip injury, sure, but is he going to need some time to build back up, even though he's once or twice through the inning, twice through the order guy, and you're not too concerned about the amount of innings? And Mitch White, a fine addition, nice insurance policy, but that's not going to be somebody the Blue Jays are going to expect to go 6 and 7 innings in their start. It's not a frontline guy. That's why the emphasis of the guy signing a 3-year deal at $36 million has a lot of pressure on it and a lot of focus. And the Blue Jays, while they will say, we believe in him, we see progress. Okay, well, you can see all that and you can believe in that, but you also need to see results. And certainly in the first innings, that has been a massive albatross for the left-hander, because the Blue Jays are always playing catch-up.
Wanted to ask you about Alejandro Kirk. He went 6 games without a hit, but over his last 2 has 5. See him coming around a little bit after a little baby slump?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's the ebbs and flows of a season, right? You change the way that you're going to get pitched, and there was some tough pitching, some really tough pitching in Minneapolis, and the Rays always seem to have a way to attack certain hitters in the Blue Jays lineup, and they know where those high hitters are. You know, they can control Alejandro Kirk, they control Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And for Kirky, it's been some pockets of some cool play here. Remember, I think it was in the beginning or end of May where he kind of cooled off after that great start. And I think some of it is just he needed to slow down things, just try to get the barrel on the bat and look like Alejandro Kirk of the past and not worry about doing too much at the plate. And he made some slight adjustments. You know, his hands look a little bit better and quicker through the zone. So it's always going to be changes with the way that he gets pitched. So he's going to have to make adjustments on the flip side. And last night was a big return where he came through with 3 hits.
Also, the team signed Jackie Bradley Jr. A thought on the veteran joining the club and what his role could be?
Yeah, more versatility. With him and Whit Merrifield, that gives the Blue Jays some options late in ball games, but it also gives them some flexibility with how they want to roll out some time off with other players. Jackie Bradley Jr. is one of the best defenders in Major League Baseball. He's not hitting as much. And I asked a couple of people behind the scenes yesterday. I know that the average, the results isn't there or haven't been there for Jackie Bradley Jr., but are the way that you look at his at-bats, are you happy with his approach at the plate? And they said overall, they don't see anything glaring that's a problem, but they also feel like they've gotten in the year of Matt Chapman, like they have been able to turn around Lourdes Gurriel Jr. after a really good start, then he tapered off. They've identified a couple of things where they feel that they can really help Jackie Bradley Jr. And I think, now, I'm not comparing the two people as players, but just look at the approach. Raimel Tapia has gotten increasingly better as the season has gone along, working with Guillermo Martinez and Dave Hudgens. So left-handed bat, a lot of contact ability. Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to give you a better at-bat than Bradley Zimmer. So there's a lot to build on for Jackie Bradley Jr. coming in, first offensively, and then what he allows the Blue Jays to do defensively. That can get Whit Merrifield more reps on the diamond. Haven't seen, that great drive of the baseball recently from Santiago Espinal. So that could get Espy a couple of days off. Merrifield can go in there and give you a really solid veteran at bat. And that could get Kevin Bishop over to first base like last night where he can spell Vladdy and get him DH. So the acquisition of Whit Merrifield and Jackie Bradley Jr. allow the Blue Jays to do a lot more than just have them available and be veterans and guys that have been, you know, in case of Jackie Bradley Jr., I mean, he won an MVP in the ALCS. You know, so he's performed at a high level when the games matter the most. So I like the pickups. I like the veteran moves by the Blue Jays to grab them. And it'll be really interesting to see if it all pans out the way that John Schneider and I were chatting the other day about the versatility that allows the Blue Jays.
Speaking of versatilities, I'm curious just your takeaway. It's been almost a week now. I know he's going to play in home games coming up on the weekend, but what's your takeaway or what have you seen from Whit Merrifield?
He can change the game. He can change the game with his speed. He's got really good skills defensively, and we saw it. I mean, he tracked down a ball that Cedric Mullins absolutely crushed last night here in Baltimore, and he looked effortless doing it, and he got turned around a little bit because the ball had a little bit of a hook on it. And he looked really smooth in the outfield. And for the most part, I've only seen Whit in the small sample sizes because out of the division, you only play him twice a year, right? So Whit's been at second base. I've been really impressed how he covers ground in the outfield. And it looks like the Blue Jays are going to play him in all three different outfield positions, let alone bring him on the diamond and have him play at second base primarily. I doubt that he's going to see much time at third base, but it's a really, really good pickup for the Blue Jays. And Whit has been, from my vantage point, I'm not in the clubhouse wire to wire all the time with these guys, but just observing, he's a gamer. He is an absolute grinder. He's very routine oriented, just like Matt Chapman and some of the other Blue Jays that are out there. It's a great fit into the clubhouse. And from what I can tell, he's really, really excited to be part of this. And that was part of the reason that, you know, he made the personal decision after not being able to travel north of the border with the Royals when they came up to play the Blue Jays. Shortly thereafter, he realized that there was a lot of interest in him, and he made the decision either being able to come with another team to Toronto or be ready for the big ride through Toronto.
And before we let you go, I don't know if you have words to describe it because it's kind of crazy when you look at the splits, but any thoughts on the fact that whenever he plays the Blue Jays, Ryan Mountcastle turns into a 400 hitter? Like, I can't explain it. It's unbelievable what Ryan Mountcastle does to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's Ryan Mountcastle versus the Blue Jays. Usually it's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. versus the Orioles. The glare, there's always that guy, right? There's always a guy comes up in a big situation or does something dramatic, and you just can't figure out how to get him out. And this goes back. Ryan Mountcastle is not a guy that's been in the big leagues for 10 years. Starting in 2020, when he came up with the Orioles as the rookie, and he was the hotshot prospect, at his first home run in Buffalo against the Blue Jays, and that would just set the table of things to come with Ryan Mountcastle. He's a triple crown winner against the Blue Jays over the last 3 years. Nobody has a better average. Nobody's driven the ball harder, hit it out of the ballpark more, or produced more RBIs than Ryan Mountcastle. He's a one-man wrecking ball against the Blue Jays uniforms.
For those listening that are curious, 6 games this year, Ryan Mountcastle, 480 with 4 home runs and 10 RBIs against the Blue Jays. And in his career, as Ben mentioned, not a long one, but 31 games against Toronto, He's hitting .352 with 13 home runs and 26 RBI. It's quite something for Ryan Mountcastle.
That 26 might have been the most important RBI of the ballgame. I know Odor is going to get a lot of credit for his go-ahead home run. And we can carve pitch selection and attack mode in that eighth inning with Jimmy Garcia. But Ryan Mountcastle in that seventh inning, after Simber loses Adley Rutschman, who put together one hell of an at-bat to work the walk, Mountcastle gets in there in really difficult circumstance, you know, with that crossfire action of Simber, and he barreled the ball to straightaway center field and netted the double. Two really important at-bats that don't make the highlight reel. But Ryan Mountcastle, just 3 years into the big leagues, put together with a guy that's been in the big leagues less than 6 months, put together the best attack in that seventh inning.
Great stuff, Ben. We could do this all day, but we'll let you get back to the prep. Appreciate the time this morning, and hey, have a great call tonight. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks so much. Hopefully Mother Nature works in our favor again tonight.
Yes,
have a good one.
Let's hope so. There he is, Ben Wagner, radio voice of the Blue Jays across the Sportsnet Radio Network, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Blue Jays Orioles 5:05 tonight. You can hear Ben on the call right here on Sportsnet 960. You can also watch it, of course, on Sportsnet West.
Jose Berrios going to be on the bump for the Bluebirds. Last time was a bit dicey, but the two outings before that were pretty solid, so we'll see which Berrios we get here against the Orioles. But man, I keep just being marveled at that Mountcastle numbers. Like, this guy is an absolute monster against the Blue Jays. We'll see if he can get his way with Berrios as well. But like you mentioned, 5 o'clock first pitch. Also, ton of coverage with Blair and Barker coming up at 10 o'clock up until noon.
Couple of texts during that segment, 960-960. You've got to try Hawaiian pizza with bacon, green peppers, and black olives.
I understand the sweet and the salty together with the black olives, but I just can't.
Are you a black olive guy?
No.
Are you an olive guy?
No. They were like one of the only things that I vehemently...
I might make you sick right now, but I could eat black olives out of the can.
Yeah, that's... Like, here's the thing. They're one of the divisive foods where...
You expand your palate.
No, I have a very expansive palate. I've tried them before. I just don't like them. And... They're very divisive. People either love them and they're like you and they can just shovel them into their maw.
I can crush a large can just right out of the can. Boom. Done.
Yeah.
Over. Delicious.
I love me a pickled jalapeno, like on some nachos or something like that.
I like that.
But olives I just can't do.
I already know how the answer is going to go, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Garrett, are you a black olive guy?
I like olives. Yeah.
Hey!
Whoa.
That's not how I thought that was going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Thought that was going to be a no?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Just don't feel like you have an expansive palate either, but are you a black or a green olive guy?
Only black, I think.
Yeah, greens are a little more bitter, a little tougher.
I don't like those.
Greens belong in martinis, full stop.
And that's full class right there.
Yes, sir. Like I said, I just finished watching James Bond, Daniel Craig, drinking some Vespas.
Yeah, vodka, see, here's a great text. I do eat black olives out of the can regularly. Me too. Delicious.
Regularly?
I don't know if I said regularly, but...
Like every once in a while, you're like, I feel like a snack. Let me just grab a little spoon and crack this jar open.
No, fingers. Just right in there. Here's the other thing, though. Don't necessarily... Like, I don't have a jar of black olives or a can of black olives just hanging out in my pantry, necessarily, all the time.
Well, I hope so. You should keep it in the fridge.
No. In the pantry.
Once they're opened, you put them in the
fridge. Or you can crush the whole can in one sitting, and then you don't have to put them in the fridge. My absolute favorite Hawaiian pizza in the city is from Matador. If you get a chance, give it a try. Ask for the cheese extra crispy.
Oh.
It's fabulous.
Mm. These are the same people who don't have an issue drizzling honey on pizza, which is essentially the same thing. And this is an individual who had some qualms with the fact that pineapple pizza, too sweet.
Now, I will say... Shout out Una.
Oh, so good.
The sausage with the maple syrup on it. Oh, my God.
Oh. I was just thinking of...
Remember the night you, Pinder, and I went to Una and just crushed?
No.
Yeah, okay.
We're probably quite in the bag.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, that's...
And Pinder's like ordering half the menu. He's like, I've been here lots, boys. It's fine.
Yeah.
And you and I are just sitting there crushing cabin, I believe, super saturation at the time. So.
Oh, yes. Delicious.
No. And then we ended up at a bar in the bottom of like a cafe. I'm like,
yeah, we went to I Love You Coffee Shop over on 4th Street.
How did we end up here?
Yeah.
Pinder's like, let's go. Yeah, we
were. Because Pin Dog knows the boss there, Dan.
We were bar hopping. Yeah. And the end of that night, a little foggy.
What was the reason we were bar hopping? Because usually there's
We were about 8 days after the death of my mother. So we, you guys are like, let's go.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That makes sense. The super sats and the pizza. There we go.
Pineapple and black olives, sweet and salty. There you go. Good
morning. See, like I said, I understand the sweet and salty, but I just don't like olives. Part of it is the texture.
Savage.
They're too squishy.
Okay. You're a texture guy, are you?
Oh, big time. My favorite texture is the crunch.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
I can get behind that. Good morning, fellas. Had pickle pizza.
See, this is one of those things that I've started to see pop up.
Dill pickle pizza.
More and more.
Very popular.
And in a year or two, I'm sure that it'll come across my plate and I'll end up trying it, but I haven't yet.
Spicy Hawaiian slaps. I do agree with that. Little jalapeno in your Hawaiians. Never going to do your own.
Sure. Just a little bit. You don't need a bit. Just a little shavings.
I have a daughter since she was 5 years old, loves black olives out of the can. And when she orders a pizza, it's green pepper and black olives. It's my kind of gal right there.
Went
to Subway, asked for a bowl of black olives to munch on while they made my sub.
Gross.
That is an animal.
That's gross.
It only takes like 2 minutes to make a sub. Like, it's just hammering olives while I'm standing in line.
To be fair.
I need something to tide me over, bro.
To be fair, if the line's long and you're getting your sub
so
toasted.
So you jump in the line to get your bowl of olives?
Can I get a jar of black olives?
Hey, if I'm going to wait in this line, you better give me my free jar of olives.
Gross.
I think this you're texting in right now. It says savages.
Sure, yeah.
Anyways, there's some of your texts. We'll get into what you want to talk about and maybe some more pineapple pizza texts coming up in the next segment. Hour three rolls on. He's Matt, I'm Will, and GVP, the Black Olive Lover, is in the next room. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour three, big show in the morning. My name is Matt Rose. Sitting across from me is Will Nault. We got GVP and Alex Brody behind the board in the other room, our outstanding producers. Hope you're having yourself a great Wednesday. Pretty good week for sports. You got the National Bank Open, which is on the go. Canadians in action. The Okotoks Dogs have advanced to the conference finals. The Jays and the Orioles. Stamps practicing. World Juniors Day 2 today. How about the schedule? Sweden and Switzerland will go at noon. Latvia, Canada at 4 in Canada's very first game. And then Germany, Austria will wrap the night at 8 o'clock after Germany took one on the teeth. Right on the chin. Wore it against the Americans yesterday. Matt Coronado played quite well. Just came across a very strange video of...
Are you going to ask Bukla about it?
If he was there, I might ask Jason Bukla about it. Who's going to join us just after 9 o'clock, doing some great work for Sportsnet right now. He was the former director of amateur scouting for the Florida Panthers for many years. We had him on the show a few weeks back to talk about the trade of Matthew Tkachuk and the players the Flames got back, and the text line loved it. So looking forward to what he's seen doing the scouting thing at the Ivan Hlinka and at the World Juniors, because we had Peter Labardius on at the start of the week, and Lou had said, yeah, Bukla was there, and a big fan, a lot of chatting and whatnot. So, yeah, looking forward to
all that. I don't
know
why he wouldn't have been there last night to see that amazing clip you just watched.
Yeah, it's the Americans were on the power play. They have a player go back to get the puck, and he decides he's going to go for a change as the last man back, and he just kind of leaves the puck at the bench door. And then he goes to the change, but obviously his teammate isn't on the ice yet, or it would be too many men. And while he's waiting for his teammate to get on the ice, the Germans pick the puck up and get a shorthanded breakaway. Very nice play, but very confusing play by Jack Peart. It's just a little bit of a brain fart, perhaps. So We'll ask him about it and who else has stood out to him over the course of, you know, the first day of the revamped World Juniors and going back to the Ivan Holinka as well. Gonna maybe catch any of the World Juniors? Like, what is your interest level for this tournament in August?
I wouldn't say zero because I love hockey, and I think as the tournament gets into the medal round, I think I will be paying more attention to it. But here's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
No Russia there. Outside of really the big four, which is for me at this level, the U20 level, Canada, U.S., Sweden, Finland, I'm not sure we're going to get that much competitive hockey. When those four teams go head-to-head, I think it'll be terrific. But, yeah, for me...
Without the Russians there, too.
Yeah, exactly. In middle of August, it's tough to sit on your couch at noon if it's not minus 30, and in December it very well could be. It's a little bit more difficult to sit down and watch 9 hours of hockey. So I'll tune in here and there, but, you know, Canada-Latvia, for example... Not expecting a very competitive game. As it gets into the medal round, I think we'll have a little more interest on it and should be better. And again, I think from a Flames standpoint, yesterday, maybe not a great indicator or not one that you're dying to tune in because USA is playing Germany. But, you know, to watch Matt Coronato, I mentioned it yesterday, don't necessarily get a lot of, you know, you don't get a lot of viewings on Harvard over the winter. So for Flame fans, probably a great chance to get their first look at Matt Coronato and where he might be at in his development. So looking forward to watching him a little bit because I don't know a whole heck of a lot about him either. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at when it comes to this World Junior Tournament.
So the big one for the Americans, obviously with their pool, it's got Sweden, Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. The big game is the one that's going to be against Sweden. That's scheduled to be on Sunday, an 8 o'clock Calgary time start, and a pretty good Swedish team that has come out here as well. One of the guys that we've talked about quite a bit when it comes to the Detroit Red Wings and their young prospects, you know, you talk about Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond and all their additions. Simon Edvinson is one of the studs for this Swedish team, and you could get a nice viewing of him against his age group here. And then, of course, understanding that the NHL is a little bit of a different beast, but someone who very much could be part of the picture with the Detroit Red Wings for their upcoming season. So there's certainly some intrigue. But I agree with you. Even without the Russians, it kind of takes even a little bit away, although I fully agree with the decision for them not to be here. Canada, Finland, Czechia, and Slovakia, with Latvia being the fifth team in their pool. I actually don't hate it. You know, Czechia and Slovakia have come a long way. We're, what, how many months removed from Slovakians being the first and second overall picks in the 2022 entry draft? So there's definitely some things to like in those two groupings as well. But the big one will be Canada taking on Finland. That's the one that we're all going to be waiting for. That's going to go on the final day of the round robin action, Monday, August 15th at 4 o'clock. Finland getting off to a big win yesterday. Obviously, it was against Finland, but against Latvia. But some of their key players came to play in Atu Rati and Joachim Kemmel, prospects for the Islanders and the Predators, respectively. 4 points each in that game and a couple of very high-flying forward prospects for Team Finland. Also, this just came down the wire. Yesterday, the Stampeders teased a big announcement, and I had kind of looked into it, and I wasn't really sure what it was going to be, but I was under the impression that it wasn't going to be anything, you know, roster construction-wise, and sure enough, it's not roster construction-wise, but the Stampeders announcing that on Saturday... For their game against the BC Lions, the world's fastest cow will not only be in attendance, as he usually is, but his opponent?
Matt Rose.
No. It's not the commissioner either. It's not Danny Austin, although I think he's done it before.
Really?
I think he did.
How did he do?
Probably awful.
No.
Paul Bissonnette, otherwise known as Biz Nasty, is going to be in Calgary to race the cow between the first and second quarters on Saturday.
You said it's not the commissioner.
Not the commissioner. So
Burley?
We'll go with Paul Bissonnette instead. But the commissioner, you know, he I think the commissioner's scared to face the cow, frankly.
Frankly, I was in Calgary this past weekend, and you're world's fastest cow. I got to tell you something. I'm coming back just
isn't
that
fantastic? Are you going to race the cow? Are you going to race the cow, Randy?
What's that?
Are you going to race the cow?
Yeah, no, but yeah, listen, I would, but he's got to give me more than 10 yards.
You need like 40 yards, eh? I'm with you. I'd be the same way.
40, 45, 47, maybe 52 yards I get.
52.
Not bad. Got a little tongue-tied when you dropped it on him.
Are you going to race the cow?
Yeah, no, but yeah, listen.
Yeah, no, but yeah, so it won't be him, but it'll be Paul Bissonnette from, of course, Spittin' Chiclets, and a lengthy career in the NHL. I'm not going to say it was a great career, but it had some tenure to it.
Shot, man.
It had some tenure to it, and they do some pretty good interviews. I will admit that. Also, a couple other notes for Saturday. It's going to be Legacy Night. Of course, you get the Gridiron Gardens going from 3 to 5 o'clock with the Stamps alumni there, signing autographs, live music, the whole nine yards. And at halftime, so first quarter, between the end of the first quarter and the start of the second, Biz Nasty races the cow. Awesome.
Well, it's early, eh? So Bizzy can't get into the sauce at that point.
Yeah, that'll be, you know, 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock, somewhere in that.
Like very
ballpark.
Good chance he's still sober.
There's a very good chance, but there's a very good chance that he'll be in the Pink Whitney by noon. So you never know. Halftime, they're going to celebrate George Hopkins, otherwise known as Gio, the equipment manager for the Stampeders. 1,000 games over 50 seasons with the Stampeders. So very much looking forward to see how they celebrate him. And that coming up in the halftime show for the Stampeders. You can grab your tickets right now. They're quite cheap, $19. It's going to be a beautiful day out there as well. And we'll see if we can try and get Biz Nasty on to talk about the rain. How would that be for one of your last couple days?
That'd be good.
That'd be a nice one.
We have had him on before.
Yes.
And he's dropped terminology that probably should be dropped on radio. But
that you probably should know about well before you say it. But yes.
Yeah. Text line does say, I believe Biz Nasty is going to be signing Pink Whitney bottles at a Wine and Beyond location in the city before the game. So he's doing a bit of a tour right now. I think he is doing a Pink Whitney tour. I would suggest probably looking at his Twitter feed would be my guess to find out where he might be. I believe he was in Brandon, Manitoba yesterday. So shout out Alex. He's hanging out in Brandon. Where I believe Alex's hometown is, so that's where Biz Nasty was yesterday or Monday, one of those two. So he's making his way through the prairies.
Tough gig, just driving across the prairies selling Pink Whitney.
Now, if he were to go to Brandon, Alex, where would he go? Where would the spot be?
Well, so he did a photo op in front of Joe Beavers in Brandon.
Joe Beavers?
That's got to be a
what
bar.
Is
yes.
Joe Beavers?
Oh wait, is there no Joe Beavers here?
No.
Yeah, never. It's like a sports bar. They're famous for poutine.
How long have you lived in Calgary?
I don't know. I just assumed they were a chain, I guess. But
how long have you lived here?
5 years now.
And you've never seen a Joe Beavers or heard of it?
I guess.
Come
yeah.
on. if you were to said like
there's
I,
two of
if
them.
You're, I was like if you were to say you lived here like last week, then I'd be okay. Yeah, you probably don't know that there is none here, but. So it's a pub. You said there's two locations,
there's,
Matt?
Yeah, two of them in Brandon. Apparently there's one in Yorkton as well. So I guess three of them.
There you go.
So a mini chain.
And yeah, Biz was there. Meet and greet with Biz. Joe Beavers. Beavers is spelt wrong, of course. B-E-E-V-E-R-Z.
Oh,
what
yes.
is this place?
I love it. I love it. Nonetheless, he was there.
It's got the logo looks like it's kind of like a... an extra Canadian brew house logo.
Maybe it's similar?
It's similar, but they added the beaver in. So that's kind of cool.
Fun fact, there's been poutine eaten out of the Stanley Cup at a Joe Beavers before, actually.
More
Joel
you know.
Edmondson.
I was
going to
say
there.
By who, but you just answered it.
Joel yeah. Edmondson. Love that.
That would have been 2019, I believe.
Great.
Good for him. That's outstanding.
Thanks for the fun fact, Alex.
Hey, that's what we're here for. Fun facts with Alex.
Have you been to Pete Beavers? What was it?
Joe Beavers.
Joe Beavers, let us know for what you want to talk about. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Find residential and commercial safes of all sizes, including fire-rated safes, starting at just $375. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. What you want to talk about? Putting a little bit of a bow on our show, on our hour. 960-960. Let us know what you think. Will announced earlier today that only a couple days left, so we're taking requests for some of your favorite Will Nault moments, and we'll try and play them all Friday. We'll have a big celebration. It'll be lots of fun.
Don't really need that.
We'll do like what you want to talk about it or something like that. We'll figure it out.
Wedley wants to hear the Bill versus Kron mall walk.
Mall walk? I don't know if I remember the mall walk.
I don't know if you were. I don't know where you were at the time. I don't know where you were working on a regular basis. You might have been afternoon producer. I'm not exactly sure what you would have been doing at the time, but it was 2019. We did the morning show at the time. Me, Kron, and Boomer.
Yep.
We were hanging out at Westbrook Mall. And this, of course, it's a morning show, so we're at the mall at 5 a.m. There's no one in the mall, right? And then Boomer was playing into the Nault versus Kron rivalry. And
one of my absolute favorites.
Kron had, you know, had this claim to fame that he was an elite speed walker. So we... Boomer told us to go to the end of the hall, I guess, or the strip in the mall, and then we went head to head in a mall walk. It was very intense. I lost by a hair, and then we sat down. Corey Mace brought us McDonald's, and we crushed it. And then Corey Mace went on to talk about his turkey drive. I believe it was around Christmas.
So. That makes sense. If it was around the turkey drive,
it was great.
Yeah, and I think
Kron is a very good mall speedwalker.
You taken aback?
Yeah, he was very talented. He had the form down perfectly.
Like the hips moving.
Oh, he was great.
It's impressive. It's kind of like golf in the sense that you don't want to move your chest at all or your core. It's all just the kind of lower movement, kind of a little duck waddle almost.
Mm. Yeah.
That's an Olympic sport, so better put a little bit of respect on it. Everyone wants the Otrivin read.
Yeah. It was a good one.
The nasal congestion?
It can't help nasal congestion, but it can help nasal congestion. That's very same thing. Congestion? Otrivin can't help nasal congestion, but can help with nasal congestion. Sorry, what? Can't help nasal congestion, but can help with nasal congestion. Congested. Otrivin can't help traffic congestion, but can help with nasal congestion.
You buckled the boys on that one.
Otrivin can't help nasal congestion, but can help with nasal congestion. I would have been sitting where GVP was sitting, or is sitting, and they would have been sitting here. And that's back in the day when we had to do traffic reads.
Dude, honestly, those were great for selling sponsors and all that jazz, but some of the drops we got, especially the morning show ones, when you're a producer and you use your mouth to speak like three times over the course of the start of the day and you're trying to just keep yourself awake back there. I know what you're doing, GVP.
Come on.
And...
are you sleeping?
And
what's
you're trying to spit these words out, and you got quesadilla, and you got fajita, and you got Otrivin, and you got pneumococcal pneumonia. You trip up a little bit. Every once in a while, there's a little bit of a stumble. But you know what? Dust yourself off, right back on that horse. No problem. They got rid of the reeds. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's now GVP never has to do it. He doesn't have to have that.
He doesn't remember
pressure.
Those days. Yeah,
thank God.
The pressure.
I'd be sweating trying to get through one of those.
Shout out Grant Buchanan, who I know is listening right now because he's texting something very inside baseball, and I love it. And I wish I could tell the story on the air, but I don't think I will.
Big G saw him at Stampede.
Did ya?
He was crushing it at the grandstand.
Of course he was.
Yeah. Shocker. Oh my goodness. He was in front of a crowd, and they were loving every moment of it.
Hanging on to whatever his next word's going to be.
Couldn't wait. They were like, Chuck Wagon who?
Yeah, we want more Grant. That's what they were saying.
Yes, that's exactly what they were saying.
God, love you, Grant. What the heck's going on, boys? You're all leaving us. No, Matt said he's not. He's never leaving.
No, they're going to have to drag my...
Matt's actually moved his bed into the studio.
They're going to drag my corpse out of here to get me to leave.
Just crushed a delicious omelet with black olives. Hard to beat black olives, boys. There's another black olive listener.
Good for you.
Shout out to you.
You guys are so brave.
That, to me, tells me that that listener can also crush black olives out of the can. With his fingers.
Yeah, and oh, God, you guys... Right. Good for you. That's vile, but right on. Oh, my goodness. Oh, someone's offering you a job.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do concrete work. But
he's leaving.
I'm leaving for a job. I'm not leaving with no plan. I'm not. I'm leaving with a plan. It's maybe hard to believe, but someone asked, are you going to hire Mike Klukas as your co-host, Matt?
Did he text that in?
No, it's not him. It's Wedley. So someone out there, believe it or not, someone out there is a Mike Klukas fan.
We're actually holding open auditions next week. So if you just want to text in what time you're available to come on the show.
Come on in, crush a can of black olives on the air.
Throw me a couple topics before, whatever you want. No problem. We'll just we'll go from there. Full open auditions all next week.
With lots of black olives.
I'd rather not.
We got to take a break. We got a guest coming up, but more text coming in. We'll play some more dumb and silly clips as the week continues. As yes, I do have two full more shows left here on the program. And hey, Friday we'll have some fun, no doubt about it. That's what you want to talk about, which is brought to you by Calgary Lock and Save, your source for everything door related: sliders, swing doors, steel door replacements, and germ friendly wave activation buttons. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
I can audition. No.
Don't. That's... Don't. Okay. Don't.
Take a break.
It almost folded you, and you're going to read it on the air. It's
unbelievable. Bukla's next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.